Mr. Liguori, good morning to you, and you may approach, and you may proceed.
Good morning. My name is Louis Liguori. I'm here on behalf of the plaintiff and the appellant in this case, Jason Armconnect. The issue on this appeal is child support, encompassing both a child support calculation for a split custody calculation and a calculation including two subsequent born children, children from the plaintiff's second marriage, his second family. The calculations in this case are subject to the requirements of Section 6-1504, subsection F of the Uniform District Court Rules. Those district court rules provide, in relevant part, that a worksheet showing calculations under the Nebraska Child Support Guidelines shall be attached to every child support order or decree, and that in a contested case or contested matter, the worksheet shall be prepared by the court and attached to the order or decree. The courts have stated that the trial courts must show the appellate courts and the parties that they have done the math.
You're not suggesting, are you, that a court cannot adopt a calculation done by counsel?
I think the court has to make independent findings under the Burgess decision as to what those computations should be. I don't think that a court can blindly accept what another party has been empowered or delegated to do. I think it's clear that judicial power is not subject to delegation. And in this particular case, I think we have a trial court that basically found three things. It made a decision as to what the plaintiff's income was, that it had not changed, and it had not changed at all. The defendant's income had not changed at all, and that the plaintiff would get credit for two subsequent born children from his second family. Those are the only three concrete facts that the trial court made during the course of this hearing. The trial court didn't make any other decisions. Didn't make any decisions as to what amount of income we're going to allocate to the plaintiff's wife. That was not done.
Was there evidence put on that?
Yes. There was evidence put on, and in this particular case, the defendant selected the very highest annual income on record for the plaintiff's wife to calculate the child support. And the record also shows that her income
had substantial periods of fluctuation. She was a self-employed individual with substantial fluctuations. Rather than going to what the cases refer to and what the guidelines refer to, select 3 years and average those, that wasn't the case here. We picked one highest year, and actually if you look at that one highest year, what was done there would have been a cut in the amount of money that was being paid to the plaintiff, $24,000 a year, and use that to deduct from her highest year. But that's not what the child court allocated to her. And if you put the two sums together, it comes out very clear that her whole, the income she's receiving, was not proportionally increased to account for the increased amount of money that the trial court allocated to the plaintiff. The mathematical proof is the whole cannot exceed the sum of its parts. But that's what, if you look at this particular calculation, that's in fact what happens here.
Did you offer an alternative calculation?
I wasn't given an opportunity to offer an alternative calculation. The court made its decision and made it clear that it wasn't changing what it had decided. That was the calculation, and delegated that responsibility to the defense counsel to prepare the calculation. There's nothing to indicate anywhere on the record that the court actually, other than a stamp order, ever reviewed those calculations. There's an earlier hearing where the district court judges indicated that was history of the plaintiff's income over 12 years, even 7 years, preceding the final hearing. Over that 12-year, excuse me, 7-year period, his average monthly income was $1,203, well short of $3,100. He began working for his wife. She ran, started a farm bureau agency in Omaha, Nebraska in 2015. He started working for her in 2015 after making declining set income as a construction worker. The average working for her, $1,875 per month. There's nothing in the record that shows that from the time of the final hearing in 2007, he ever made anything close to the $37,200 on an annual basis that was forwarded to the recent judge talking about your client's potential. The court never mentioned during the record that he had a higher earning capacity. The court did mention that the defendant could earn more, but not in the record that I noticed did the court ever say that the plaintiff had a higher earning capacity.
Is that inherent in the finding?
I don't know if it's inherent, and it's my understanding that the court wants to deviate because the child support guidelines are set up on a presumptive basis. And I think the focus of the court to look at, as far as the child support guidelines and their modification, are financial circumstances which have lasted 3 months and can reasonably be expected to last for an additional 6 months, establishes a rebuttable presumption of a material change of circumstances. We have that here, but the court did not look at those particular months as a court on its own and said, I'm going back to the original of the claim, which is $3,100 a month. Again, there was no deviation that set in the record. There was no clearly articulated reason why the court did not accept that other than to say, you work for your wife, and I know who's controlling the cards here. If you look at the defendant's income, we can see that her income, she publicly went and represented that she had earnings of $250,000 and $100,000 in 2012 and 2014. Her earnings of $2 million in 2016, $4 million. In 2014, she received a piece of real estate from her employer that she sold 2 years later for $315,000. Did receive that as a joint tenant. We tried to argue that that was in-kind benefits. It was property. It had the same effect as receiving money in the hands of the defendant. It was property that was given to her by her employer that was worth $315,000. There's no difference between receiving property or money, but the end result is the same, $315,000. And in this particular case, what we have underneath the decree is that the parties had agreed originally for when there was one child, the child support would be $475 a month. Now we have no change in income, an increase in the child support to $499. The only change that the judge found was now that the plaintiff has two subsequent born children. So the effect of him having two subsequent born children raised his child support from $475 $499. The basic principle is to treat both families as fairly as possible. I would submit that that's not treating them fairly.
And what exactly do you want this court to do?
I would like this court to apply the rebuttable presumption and set the plaintiff's income at between $2,000 and $2,100 in accordance with the evidence. I would like the court to go back and look at the split the calculation for the two subsequent born children, start at the $475, which was agreed to in the terms of the original decree, and then treat the two subsequent children fairly, treat them the same as they are treating the child from the first family. That's what I would like the court to do.
Would you rather than remand it to the trial court again?
I'll leave that to the discretion of the court. Time's up. Thank you, Your Honor.
Peter B. Blank, to you.
My name is Mark Krieger. I represent the League of Rounds, who is the appellee in this matter. Just some initial rebuttal to the argument that we just heard. First of all, the discrepancy between why there's a change in the child support when there's one kid left and he gets credit for the other two is directly a result of the way the health insurance credit is changed under the guidelines from the way it was applied in 2007 to the way it's applied now. As the court may recall, in 2007, health insurance premium was deductible like taxes from the income. It had a much less impact on the bottom line number of the support. The court then moved health insurance down to the bottom, where essentially we take the proportionate share of income, half of the premium in this case would be attributable. It raises his support to $600 when there's one child, but then giving him a credit of $111 for two kids came down to my $499. Now, you will have noted that in formulating how we do these credits for after-acquired children required, you can't do it under the guidelines, so you have to take your best shot as to how to treat everybody fairly. And what I did is I took three children with mom, which wasn't the facts, two with dad. What would be the amount of the credit that you would apply for one child and two children? And keep in mind, we've got three kids, one of whom's aging out while the case is pending, one of whom's living with dad, the two are living with mom, one is about to age out, and he's had one child before the case started and another child during the case.
Counsel, I want to make sure we're on the same page. As I understand it, and I've looked at the record itself, but attached to the order, there are three pages of child support calculations. So far, so good.
Maybe four.
Well,
a number of them going through the steps.
Well, that's part of my problem is I'm looking at least the three pages that I've been furnished with, which are the worksheet one and worksheet four on a single page with split three kids at the top, and then the second page of that, which is the split custody worksheet two, and the only other page that I have is subsequent children credit one child. And I have a single page on that. So am I missing some pages?
Yes. There's 12 pages on
attached to the credit.
And it counts how many, encompassing how many?
They are
called proposals.
The first calculation is split custody with three children.
That's at page 73. I was with the transcript, he said page 73 in the transcript. Well, your pages are maybe different than ours.
Oh, okay. This is just the stamped order from...
Oh, okay, thank
you. Anyway, and if I need to supplement the transcript by going back to make sure, but...
Okay.
Yeah, there's...
He had Tanner and split dash three kids.
Yeah, that's just to figure out what would he be paying if he didn't have any subsequent kids. What would be the amount with three and two? Three kids, no subsequent children. Then I do a subsequent credit for one kid, and I figure out that the difference in his obligation in my charge resulted in a $66 credit. I then do, when the second child is born, how much did that make a difference? That made a difference of $113. Then I go through with, okay, so when the one child ages out, we had two with mom, one with dad. Now that one of the children ages out, they actually each have one and one. But he still gets the credit for both of the kids. And then we get to the final calculation, which is when Alexis left, and it's just Alexis, he's been going to pay mom. For the one child, how much credit does he get? And he gets $113 for the two subsequent children. While this case was pending, you decided Fetter Kyle at 299 Nebraska 76, in which you said the child support guidelines are allowing the existing support board award to deduct for an obligation asking for custody and a redo of the child support. My client never asked for an increase in support. In fact, we agreed that middle boy Reese was going to go play football at the smaller school where he was at. We didn't even have a battle over custody. We just said, okay, now that it's a split custody, how are we going to do the child support? I would argue that there's plain error in even applying the $113 credit on the records and the $66 credit, because under the case that you decided in September, 2 months ago, in this matter, you found that unless my client asks for an increase of support, he can't use it as a sword. This was after this case was pending, and I didn't file on that day assignment error. We didn't appeal the sports ruling. I also want to address the idea that is prevalent throughout both his argument and the brief, that somehow the court delegated to me the authority to make these decisions. I mean, this is, we have six district judges here that have been district judges in the past. The ruling by the judge was when he signed my proposed order. It was not what he said in the courtroom. If he wanted to make changes, if he didn't believe the findings of fact that I had were supported by the record, he could have changed them. He could have attached different calculations, but he didn't. The order was signed. That's when the ruling is made by the court. I'm not making this ruling. I'm proposing to the court what I believe the evidence showed at his direction. Mr. Krieger, you prepared the order and sent it to me. He found that it was ridiculous to think that these two professional people earnings had gone down from the 2007 to 2010. Was that what I wanted as a result of that work? Since we say a mom that's getting enough income from her husband to fill up her 401k? No. But that's what the judge ruled. And as a result, you will notice that in the chart that is contained within that order of modification, my client would have been owed when there were just two kids, one with dad and one with mom. Under the that calculation, she would be owed $3 by dad. But because the father has two half-required children, my client was required to pay him $110 between February of 2017 and March of 2018. That's what the credit did, the application of the credit. And if you found plain error in awarding him the credit, the difference between a sword and a shield, all you would need to do to rule on this case is you use the straight-up split custody computations in the time periods that are provided and in those amounts and do not give him the credit. And those would be the actual, what the evidence actually showed at the trial. And it was Judge Bryce last day. I had the last trial with Judge Porcelain, last trial with Judge Ryan, so is anybody here with that, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We have a time for rebuttal. There is no time for rebuttal. We will go on to the next phase of the day, which is